Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. I have some amazing guests. We're going to learn, we're going to laugh, and we're just going to share so much information and resources with you. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because I'm pretty sure there's someone you know, someone in your network who needs to meet these amazing, incredible people. It might just change their lives. The information we share can help them be better entrepreneurs, better business owners. It might help in their personal life, but they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. You've seen her here before. You've met her. You talked to her, or at least I talked to her. But I know you definitely learned from her. And when she was here, it was such a pleasure. We also brought her back to Ask Sharifa video cast, and we learned so much more about her story. The incredible Miss Deborah Pogalis. Deborah graduated with honors from Rutgers University and has been active in the fashion industry for over 25 years as a designer, consultant, and marketing and sales professional. Deborah promoted the principles of ecological and fair trade fashion through advocacy and education and assisted international designers to build successful businesses with a strong ethical foundation. And that is in her background. But she also launched her own business through her own skill set and through her support system, Bell Essence. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Thank you for joining me again. When I
Sure.
had the opportunity to sit down with you on Ask Sharifa for video cast, I was so blown away once again by how amazing you are, how positive you are, and just your journey. Every time I asked the question, your view on it was just so positive and amazing. So for everyone who doesn't know you, Deborah, please tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Okay. Like Sharifa said, I spent about 25 years in the fashion industry, and it was challenging because the fashion industry has been changing and becoming something completely different from when I first started. And as a result of being in the lifestyle industry, I launched a skincare line, mostly because I developed products for myself and people wanted to buy them. And so it was kind of a natural progression. The things that I'm passionate about are the principles that I brought into the fashion industry and I advocated for, which is ecological fashion, but particularly fair trade and the inequality in that industry. And I kind of my approach to my own business, even though I don't have a huge operation, is to bring those principles into my business and to help people understand how important that is. When I first started working in any kind of business, I was like an entrepreneur student. And every class I went to, there were people who didn't know what kind of business they wanted to go into. So the teachers would say, well, find a need and fill it. And people looked at that as being okay. I find something that's going to make me money because there's an open space in the business world. But I started looking at it as differently, that when you're filling a need, you're filling a need within the community, and a business is a service to the community that it's part of in every aspect. And it's not just about making money, it's about serving the community and the people around you, whether it be your employees, your vendors, your customers, all of them. And that's what ultimately will make you successful.
One of the things that really impressed me about you and about Bell Essence was how it started through a lot of feedback and support of the people around you. Because I always ask entrepreneurs, oh, tell me about your journey. Tell me about your journey. You make it sound so easy, so simple for you to go from nothing to having this large company, but for you, you started testing it out and testing out the product, and it was the people and the support around you that encouraged you to actually take this into business. Can we talk about that a little bit, Deborah?
Sure. Like I said, I started out when I turned 40, I did not like the way I looked at all. I felt like I was heading rapidly downhill in terms of what my skin looked like. And I tried a whole lot of products, you know, and they all worked very nicely, but they didn't permanently change my skin. They didn't make my skin look better when I wasn't using the product. So I did a lot of research into what doctors said about what's necessary for healthy skin. And it came down to a group of nutrients. So I, for myself, I went, looked at natural ingredients, and then I went to the grocery store and I found what I could buy off the shelf of the grocery store to use on my skin. And I started getting compliments on how I looked, and people were asking, what's your skincare with, you know, what do you use? And I gave them the formula, I gave them the recipe, and they all said to me, I don't want to make it, I want to buy it. Where do I buy it? So when I was laid off during the last downturn, I, you know, stress and everything opens up doors for opportunity. And I figured, all right, well, this is my time. So I started, I got an opportunity with someone I knew to put products up on Amazon, and I did really well with two products, and we've grown to have about 12 now. And so it's helpful to dip into the people around you and find out what they think about what it is that you're doing and what you have to offer, because they're going to be the most honest to you. If they're not going to want you to go start out and fail, so they're going to tell you, no, I don't think that's going to work, or you know what would be better is if you do this. And I still have the same people; they're my testers. And they are bluntly honest about everything that I do. And I have gone back to the cauldron, as I call it, over and over and over again, because somebody says, I don't like this. It doesn't feel right. So they're the best people to have around you, and people who are going to be honest with you and tell you the things you might not want to hear, because when I put something out on the market, the response is very good. And it's thanks to the people and the support that I have around me.
Yes, you always make that point. Excellent point. It is due to the support of the people mm-hmm. you have around you. Now, Deborah, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And this lovely young lady you have seen before as well. She was on a previous episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. We had so much fun. She completely took me off guard with how entertaining and amazing she is. Miss Tammy Johnston. Tammy is a financial advisor and business consultant with 28 years experience working with families, small business, and solopreneurs. Tammy teaches small businesses and runs group coaching mastermind sessions for small business owners and solopreneurs to help them keep themselves and their businesses on track and on task. Good morning, Tammy. How are you?
I'm really glad to be here. We had so much fun last time, and I was so happy to be invited back.
Of course. We had fun. So I was like, I have to talk to that young lady again. Usually people are so PC and they're so, you know, and you just cut straight.
I have never been accused of being PC.
Tammy, tell us, who are you? What are you passionate about?
What am I passionate about? I'm passionate about a few things, but my big thing is about creating better, more successful, more sustainable businesses. Over my career, which is approaching 30 years, I've come across so many people who have great products, great services, great ideas, and they go out and they start and they're all excited, but unfortunately they have no idea what it takes to run a business. So they crash and they burn, or they burn out because they're busy running around spinning every plate and not really knowing what they're doing. And it breaks my heart when I see them, like I said, crash and burn. And I'm going, it's not necessary. but our schools don't teach anything about business. That's all the way up from high school. Even when you take a lot of the entrepreneur courses and stuff in college and university, like they're good, but they give you bits and pieces. But I have yet to find anything in one place that covers all the basics. And people need to learn about business because small businesses are the ones that are growing the economy. Small businesses are ones that are looking after our families. All you ever hear about when you're talking about the big corporations is how they're downsizing, right-sizing, horrible working conditions. They want you to have 3 or 4 degrees, $200,000 in student loan debt, and we will start you at $12 an hour.
Preach, Tammy.
Yeah. So then they want you to be completely loyal, give them absolutely everything, and then they will screw you over in the blink of an eye. So I'm going, people are tired of this. It is not working. But the only way we're going to make any changes is if our small businesses start to succeed. And I absolutely love how Deb does things about, yes, you have to look after your employees, you have to look after your customers, you have to look after your community. And it has to be sustainable and fair trade. And this is these are not pie in the sky dreams. This is how it can and should be done. And like there are some companies like Amazon, they do a fabulous job of looking after their customers. Their customer service is amazing. They treat their employees like crap. They pay them like crap. They're horrible for communities. And people need to know that there's other options. And people are looking. But we need to get better at running our businesses, the marketing, the systems, understanding the financials, surrounding yourself with the people that are going to hold your hands, kick your butt, whichever is necessary, and usually both at the same damn time.
Tell us what you think, Tim. Don't hold
You back. Made the mistake of asking about what I'm passionate about, dear. So there you go.
I love opening up the doors. This is Pandora's box. I never know what I'm going to get. That's why I love hosting this show. Over 200 episodes. We actually made 1 year yesterday. I'm so proud of the show. And it's because of people like you. Now, Tammy, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, Miss Natalie McNamara. From a very young age, Natalie has always envisioned extraordinary ideas for any venture or opportunity in her path. Natalie has a futuristic go-getter attitude that aids in the ideation, development, and involvement of any project with which she is involved. Working 3 jobs through high school and college, Natalie is known by everyone in her life to be one of the hardest working individuals on the planet, the entire planet. Miss Natalie, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. It's almost lunchtime here. I don't know what time zone it is for Muhammad. You'll have to tell us that in your intro, but thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I absolutely love this conversation. I love the authenticity. I love meeting new friends. I'm jotting down all sorts of notes for our organic conversation. But thank you for the intro. You know, while I would say, you know, I was the Girl Scout, you know, at 5 who sold the most Girl Scout cookies. I've just always been wired to just sort of have this hustle mentality and get things done and make a difference and make an impact. The older I've gotten, the more I have to remind myself that it's also about working smarter, not harder. So there's definitely that turn that I think that we can all agree with. So my background is I'm the CEO and founder of Creative Marketing Group. So I started the business a little over 5 years ago. There is going on 18 of us now. I started it with $0, just as a single mom, needing to pay her mortgage and all of that, and just made things happen. So it's the entrepreneurial journey is certainly something else. I always say that I love the decision that I made, but I haven't slept since I started my business. So I know we can all relate with that. But I'd have it no other way, and it's been an amazing journey. So there were a couple of things, Tammy, that you said that really, as I even took notes before you spoke, but you know, where I'm passionate about, there's certainly some synergies with you and I. So what we do is we support branding and marketing for startups, small businesses, nonprofits, and associations. So yes, we're an agency, but the front lines of what we do with our clients is to pair our clients with a strategist. 99% of people that come to us that need to do marketing have zero idea what they should be doing, and they feel guilty because they know they should be doing something. So our job is to hold their hand and help them determine what they should be doing and trying to find the most effective way at the most cost effective budget that we can. My passion is a couple of things. Before COVID, I treat my team as adults, and I don't micromanage them or tell them how to get their job done or where to get it done. We had an office to meet, but otherwise, you know, people, I don't need to know when people have dentist appointments and all of that. I did a podcast once and I said, if I had to worry about where everybody was going to be all the time, that would be my full-time job. The reason I say that, I'm passionate about figuring out how to be happy in life, being passionate about your career and your professionalism and what you do in your job, and also being fulfilled and passionate and happy in your personal life. And it's a hard mix when you have a career and you're a hardworking person. And so I'm passionate about making all of those things work, not only for myself, but my entire team. And I think we've created a really dynamite team. And furthermore, creating that culture with all of us gives us the ability to best support our clients to help them be successful in their businesses. So it just kind of all goes hand in hand. I don't know. It's sort of a mixing bowl of things with the passion. But yeah, so hopefully I didn't overextend my introduction, but.
No, not yet. I'm good at this. When people go way, way, way too far, I just jump in there and take the conversation somewhere else. And that rarely happens. It was interesting learning about you. And I have so many questions, but I'm going to come back to you, Natalie. I want to go ahead.
Thank you.
And you are so welcome. And I want to go ahead and introduce the gentleman of the show, Mr. Muhammad Siddiqui. Muhammad is pursuing a degree in international studies and has been blogging for 3 years on social affairs and other topics of youth relevance and development. Undergraduate student at the American University of Sharjah, major in international studies. Good morning, Muhammad. How are you?
Hello and good evening from the United Arab Emirates. It is 7:18 p.m. right now and I am doing great. Thank you for asking. So
you
my name
are so welcome.
Yes, go ahead.
Just say you're welcome.
Oh, all right. So my name is Muhammad Aman Siddiqui and I am 19 years old and I am from North India, although I have resided for most of my life in the United Arab Emirates, where I am pursuing a Bachelor of Arts in International Studies. I also intend to minor in Economics and Environmental Policy. And that comes down to something I'm really passionate about, the triad that I think which forms between international studies, politics, economics, and environmental policy. I feel it addresses a lot of major concerns at once. And apart from that, outside of just academics, I like developing a versatile portfolio. One of the lines I really go by is jack of all trades, master of none, still better than a master of one. And on those ends,
I never heard that before in my life. You go, Muhammad.
Thank you so much. So this year, I also had the privilege of having one of my chapters submitted in a book, which also got published in Novus Politica, Changing Dynamics in International Politics, where I wrote about how the international political system and individual research and social affairs needs to shift from a public relations or international relations point of view to something where we give more priority to our shared humanity as a way of combating populism, fascism, and other aspects that are prevailing in so-called democracies these days. And again, in the lines of these passions that I have, I'm also serving as a columnist for a youth organization called the Written Revolutions, where I primarily write about affairs that are going on in Asia, more specific in South Asia and Southeast Asia. And outside of politics, I also really care about making the community around me a better place. So to make sure I'm doing that, I run a personal blog by the name of The Vigilant Mind. I started it in late 2017, and I'm still going, and I'm trying to find even more ways to expand my reach. And as for the topics I cover with my blog, being someone who's really passionate about leadership and having won the LEAD 365 National Leadership Award last year, that is something I've covered a lot. I really enjoy making people understand how they can motivate themselves through introspection and qualitative reflection, which also means personal development is something I really value and something I want others to learn appropriately. And social causes, the whole economic divide, making sure education reaches the people it reaches people that need it, and also environment and sustainability, because obviously that's very important these days. So in a nutshell, I really care about giving people around me a better atmosphere. And for students, I want to create more opportunities for them to develop themselves and understand themselves better. And on a larger scale, I'm passionate about making the world a better place to live in.
Wow.
Okay. All I heard was you were 19. And I need to see a license or something saying that. I don't know what happens in Dubai, but if you were here in California, I need your driver's license. Because I'm still talking to you. Come back. You are 19 years old. Where do you learn all this stuff from?
Well, again, I'm not really sure, but most of it really came back in 2014. Before that, I'm not the kind of child who, at a very early age wanted to do a lot of things. For me, video games was pretty much life. I didn't know there was a world outside Call of Duty and stuff. But for whatever reason, I came across news of the whole conflict happening in Palestine. And that kind of woke me up, like, hey, there is a world outside my video games. There are people who need help. There is an entire community that needs to be addressed. So that's where I started looking into politics, social causes, and comparative religion even, to make sure that I can do something to make the world a better place. And ever since, it's kind of been a rabbit hole trying to find out how to do certain things. And eventually, I've reached a spot where after I made constant attempts to get out of my comfort zone, where I can no longer sit stagnant. I have to be doing something or the other to feel productive and give value to myself and people around me.
I like that. So when all the people who say the young people are going to make this world go to hell in a handbasket, we can say, have you met Muhammad?
I know. Yeah.
I say bull crap when the people say that, because that's bullshit. I have met so many amazing young people, younger than Muhammad, slightly older than Muhammad. That's just said by grumpy old people who have given up themselves.
And that's why I like Tammy. Deborah, you were shaking your head. Muhammad is passionate about some of the things that you're passionate about as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I think a lot of it is sort of the hustle mentality and being a hard worker and sort of being wired with that. And that's not necessarily, I think, something you can teach people.
Exactly. But I want to go back to something you said that was very interesting to me, Natalie. You said this all, your journey all basically started with a little 5-year-old girl who had that entrepreneurial spirit, and you were out there selling them Girl Scout cookies, making it happen, and you were determined to be the top seller. But on the other side, at 5, there had to be someone with you giving you that spirit, taking you to make the sales, making the calls. So it seems to be a learned behavior. Was it one of your parents, both of your parents, who had that spirit as well?
Well, I have a very interesting line of women in my family. My grandmother, she passed a couple years ago, but her entire career was at NASA, a pretty substantial, amazing career at NASA, and she worked there her whole life. She was there for basically every shuttle launching for a long time. My mother was the first woman to work in the oil. So I'm from Houston, Texas. My mother was the first woman to work in the oil refineries, like with a hard hat and suit for Amoco Oil. And my dad was an entrepreneur. So in the mid 80s, my dad owned a construction company that was tied to the oil industry. And in the mid 80s, when the oil industry went down the tubes in Texas, my parents left everything. And I moved around, went to a different school every year from kindergarten to seventh grade, a different school every single year. So that I think was part of my journey. I was a very stubborn only child growing up, and just, I'll do it myself and I've got this. So I don't know how much of it I learned from my parents. I think there is a lot to be said for how you're wired.
No, I agree, but I guess the specific, and I agree, I'm blown away, proud of the entire family, because that's amazing, incredible line of women. But I guess the specific question was, when you're five and you're out selling Girl Scout cookies, I'm pretty sure you weren't walking down the street by yourself.
We're slightly older, that could have been a possibility.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of was. And it's not that I don't want to give my parents credit, but I've always just been this really highly driven, ambitious, like almost too focused, maybe to a fault sometimes, where I'm like, you know, this is the goal and I'm going after it. And I don't know. I literally have been that way since I've been little. So it's a very interesting question that you are going to make me think about for quite some time after this call. Now I need to go. Now I'm going to have to go see a therapist and dig into the why. That was Natalie's drive and ambition. That was a great question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Never sent someone to therapy before just because I'm being nosy and trying to figure out how you got to where you got. I thought it was easy, you know, like a softball. Like I just tossed you an easy question. Tammy, I'm going to ask you the same question since it sends people to therapy. Who helped you become the woman you are today?
Well, as you can tell, I just danced all around that question.
All around it. I did. But when people want to dance, I let them dance. This is not one of those hard hitting. I have to get to the truth of who made Natalie Natalie. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to tell me, I don't really want to know that bad. Tammy.
So what do you want to know, dear?
The question I asked him, why are people not getting my question today? Maybe it's me. Maybe I haven't had enough sleep for Wednesday. Who are some of the people who made you who you are?
That's also a tough question, because I'm of the generation, like my parents were good. They were very loving, but they were working very, very hard. And I'm of the generation where parents viewed parenting as you feed them on occasion.
And then that's it.
And the rest of it is up to you. And I grew up in rural Alberta, Canada. So I was on my own. I'm the oldest of three. And while we never lacked for anything, like there's always food on the table, but there was never any extra. So if anything wanted to be done, like I started working when I was 10. I've always been interested in business and very entrepreneurial. Just didn't have the opportunities living in the middle of absolutely nowhere when I was five. I started studying business and paying attention to things, like I said, back when I was in primary school. And probably the biggest stuff is I started reading like really, really good books. Like I was reading Think and Grow Rich when I was 18 and got into a city and was exposed to things called like libraries that actually had books in them. Because when you're in a small town in rural Alberta, like there's next to nothing. So, and then just being introduced to more people. I came out stubborn and pigheaded according to my parents, and it served me very well.
You said you were working at 10, Tammy. What were you doing? What job did you have?
The first job I had, so this should give you an idea. We had party lines. And my first paying job was to answer the phone for my neighbors when they weren't around and take messages. And then I started babysitting when I was 11.
You answered, okay, I'm confused. You answered the party line.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with party lines, you have to be like old and from a rural area. So there's four people that share one phone line.
Well, I've never heard of that. I never knew that. This is a good show, the round table talk.
Yeah, no, on a party line. So four people share a phone line and two people will share the ring. So we had two rings if it was for calling for us, and our neighbor had one ring. And if he didn't answer within three rings, I was to answer his phone and take messages. And he paid me $10 a month to do that for him because he was running a gravel trucking business. So he needed to get hold. And this is before answering machines did not exist. Mm-hmm. So I was a 10-year-old answering machine.
So you are I met the first answering machine.
Yeah, I was a 10-year-old answering machine. That should give you an idea on just how old I am.
We're going to ask Muhammad. Muhammad, did you know about party lines?
No, honestly, that's the first time I'm hearing about it as well.
Do you know about pagers, Muhammad?
Not exactly. Do you think you could elucidate on that a bit?
let me explain them. Okay, back in the days of the dinosaurs, they were these little items, right? These are pre-everything, cell phones, everything. You'd have this little box attached to your hip. You clip it on your hip. And if someone wanted to talk to you, they would page you. And instead of the phone actually ringing, or instead of actually receiving a text, you receive a little number and say, oh, Natalie is looking for me. And then I called Natalie and I say, Natalie, you wanted to speak to me. That was the pager. Did I explain it kind of correctly? Or did
Yep.
Wow, see?
Pagers have been gone longer than you've been around, Muhammad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I've kind of heard about it, but not very familiar.
Okay, I'm going to throw one other. The payphone. Are you familiar with the payphone, right, Muhammad?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I have.
You saw what? The
man changes.
Yeah, of course.
When I was in high school, we had a cell phone, but I wasn't allowed to use it because it was so expensive, but I had it for emergencies, and there was no cell phone, which meant there was no Google Maps. There was none of that. I literally had to use a map to go across Virginia to figure out where to go. Crazy how much has changed.
Yes, absolutely. My dad always tells me, even now, he says that I have to keep a Thomas guy in my car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? I'm like, I have a GPS. He's like, you never know. You never know if you're out somewhere in the middle of nowhere and you don't get a signal, then you need the Thomas guy. I'm like, Dad, dude, if I was out in the middle of nowhere and I couldn't get a signal, I don't even know how to read a Thomas guy. So it's still
it's actually true. So there's a wonderful ski resort in West Virginia called Snowshoe. And they have one of the biggest satellites in the world that you get no cell phone service within an hour of it because of these satellites. And I have my two kids and I realized I had forgotten how I got there because my GPS wasn't working and it was quite scary. It made me realize, wow, I think we're really, really spoiled by technology these days. We don't even know how to get somewhere without a phone.
Crazy. Pros and cons.
Yeah. Yep. So that's good advice. I'm probably going to go buy myself a map. What'd you call it? The Thomas guide.
Can you even get those anymore? It's kind of like asking for a phone book. Do they exist?
Yes. And it's funny because one of the few places that they exist is AAA. Like if you go to AAA office, you can pick up a Thomas guide.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes. So I want to know, Natalie, how you made it out of this area without GPS.
I was actually really scared because, you know, my kids are 9 and 10 and of course I hadn't stopped to get gas. So I was like, all right, I better figure this out. And I found a little ice cream shop. And I was like, okay, well, thank goodness. And I walked in and I said, okay. So first of all, I hope I'm not the first one to ever walk in your shop and tell you that I don't have cell service and I don't know where I'm at and I don't know where to go. But do I take this road or this road? And I need to get back to Richmond, Virginia. And he said, he kind of pretended like I was the first person to ever ask that question. So it was a little embarrassing. But yeah, he got me on the right track and I was good. But I don't know. I think it's interesting just from like a life business perspective too. You know, kind of like entrepreneurship where you kind of have to have an intuition of like, you have this moment where it's kind of scary and you got to figure it out. And, you know, it's sometimes it's sink or swim, you know, are you just going to fold and get scared? Or are you going to like, okay, you know, get into solution mode. And I feel like I, you know, just to kind of bring it back to like work and entrepreneurship. I mean, that's my life every day. It's just, there's a problem and figuring out a solution without freaking out about it, you know, getting scared.
Absolutely. And
every day there's another tally mark to add to my life of doing that. But yeah.
You are interesting, Natalie. You are very interested in the way your mind works. Deborah, do you have those moments when you're trying to figure out how to sink or swim in your business?
Usually hourly.
Hourly, every hour.
Hourly, yeah. And well,
I have to give you my phone number so we can as we have these moments.
But you know, I come from, like I said, I come from a fashion background, and that industry has changed tremendously. But I consider it in a way having been good training, because we've moved so much into the digital that we forget that business really comes down to a human connection. And so, you know, you can have that the digital marketing and all of that. But when it comes down to actually selling your product, you have to touch people personally with whatever you do. And so a lot of what I do is traditional actual marketing. You know, we're doing a project right now because we're coming out of COVID. We're going to send little sample packages to all our customers just to you know, give them a moment of self-care, that kind of thing. As marketing for our business, but at the same time to reach out and let the customers know that we're here personally for them. And so, yeah, there's problems that come up all the time. I had the same thing when I was in the fashion industry is monumentally worse. I mean, every single day you're dependent upon suppliers and contractors, and invariably someone will always mess up or not have something done on time. It is an absolute constant. So you have to be really flexible. I remember one time I worked with a dyer because I bought, you know, gray goods, and I had them dyed in certain colors, and they came back not in the colors I wanted at all. It was from my perspective, it was a disaster. But then I realized, wait a minute, I haven't even made my samples yet. So nobody out there knows what I wanted. Yep. They just are going to know what I have. So it doesn't really matter that this is a disaster. Let's freak out. I decided, well, okay, let's work with the colors and the palette that I have and make a collection out of that. And so you have to be able to adapt and look at things differently every time a problem arises. There's usually a solution, and sometimes the solution is we got to throw it out and start all over again. But a lot of times there's a solution that you might not have thought of before. But when you calm down and you just let yourself get into a creative mode and okay, what can I do with this to salvage it, you can sometimes come up with something that every once in a while is even better than what you originally planned.
I love the, again, that's that positive spin you put on everything, Deborah. That was a positive way to look at it. But one of the things that in my mind, I'm a very analytical person, without passing judgment, I would have to look at where was the breakdown of communication in this situation. Right. Because if you ordered black and you received green, you know, there is a problem. Now you spun it. The story to say, okay, I received green. Let me send it to the people and see what the people think of green.
Right.
But there was a breakdown in communication.
Yes, yes. And those are the things that you have to deal with and you have to confront. And I did have a my dyer and I did have a discussion about this, and it was actually just miscommunication between me saying one thing and her interpreting it in a different way. And I did not realize that there was a second interpretation to what I said. So, you learn how to become a lot more precise and a lot clearer every time you make a mistake. You learn how to prevent things from happening the next time around. It's always a learning process, and that's something, rather than getting so upset, oh, my business is going down the tubes, this has ruined everything. If you look at ways that you can make lemonade, I guess, but at the same time, learn yourself so that going forward, you don't make the same mistakes again. And then that way you become a better business in the future.
Absolutely. Tammy, how can people avoid having so many misinterpretations?
Well, like Deb said, a lot of it is learning to communicate. I was just thinking as she's going through this, business is all about making mistakes and you have to make them. I'm a much bigger fan though of not making all the mistakes yourself. Learn from the mistakes of others.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons why I teach, because I'm going, I don't make a lot of mistakes, but I've made some really, really big ones, and they've been painful on so many levels. So let me tell you about all the ways that I've screwed up and the ways I've seen other people screw up so that you can find new and interesting ways to screw up and not do these ones.
Well, and on that note, one thing I always say to my team, if somebody makes a mistake, you know, people obviously feel bad about it and they don't do it intentionally. I always say, it's fine. You made a mistake. Is this the first time you've made this mistake? If it is, take a moment, learn from it, make sure it doesn't happen again. Right. But if it happens two or three times, the same mistake, then there's kind of a problem. But I believe that if we don't give ourselves a hard time and say, hey, how do we avoid doing that again, ever in the future, then you learn something.
And sometimes mistakes work out to be better. Like Deb was saying with her diary and stuff, you can find ways to make it work. Some of the best businesses and best inventions happened because of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And as employees, we're trained, like, you don't make mistakes. As entrepreneurs, as business people, as people that are starting people who want to change the world in a positive way, you have to be open to be making mistakes. Because if you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I really like that you all talked about, you know, making mistakes and learning from it. But, you know, I want to add to this as well, something that's even more important. Sometimes when you reflect and try to find different ways of doing things, you might not necessarily find success in doing so. So I think it's also really important to reach out for help, reach out for resources and see what's available outside. So if you're stuck, it's not like there isn't a solution to it. You just can't find it at that point of time. So going out, finding the right resources, whether it's doing a course, contacting a professional, talking to someone who you already know, whether or not you have to spend for it, that's also a great boost in case you ever feel stuck or just want more perspective to what's going on.
Yes. Natalie, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think that was an excellent point, Mohammed. And the only other thing I was going to add, I don't know if I would call them mistakes more so than just improvements and tweaks. In my business over the last 5 years, I keep tweaking it. It's similar to an invention. Like if you invent something, inventors, they don't invent something right out the gates and it's perfect. You know, they're always sort of tweaking little things, especially like in engineering, right? I mean, it's the same thing as an iPhone or a car. It's why there's a new model. It's why there's a new iPhone 2.0, whatever, you know, there's always tweaking of like, how can you make it better? And then I don't think that that ever stops. And I think it's a really good message to entrepreneurs because I think we give ourselves a really hard time. I was talking to somebody yesterday, a client, and I said, yeah, I've tweaked the model of my staff and I've been tweaking it for 5 years. And I think it's getting really close to being really great, except it's been a lot of hard work in tweaking it, but I've been giving myself a hard time along the way because I'm trying to perfect it. But I think the message to entrepreneurs and small businesses is don't feel like a failure in that. View it as this is just part of that process to keep improving and getting better so that you are more successful and doing a better job for yourself, your staff, and your clients. So,
yeah. And you can't necessarily, like, it's not just about learning how to run your business because you make mistakes. It's when you learn how to cope with the things that go wrong, there are forces that you can't count on any way, shape, or form that are going to affect your business. And the more flexible you are and learn how to be in approaching problem solving, when something comes at you that you had no idea was ever going to happen, you can adapt more easily to that. So it's an important lesson to learn for yourself, you know. And just like with Muhammad and in the global aspect of this, there are so many things happening all at once. And if you're looking to improve conditions, you have to be able to turn on a dime if something happens and be able to have an impact no matter what. So it's a good exercise to look at that as, you know, making mistakes in your business. Like Tammy said, you don't have a business unless you make mistakes. And the more that you embrace that and learn from it and become more flexible and become stronger in yourself, the more you're going to be able to deal with the things that come up that you had no idea and are beyond your control completely.
Yes, words to live by. And I just wanted to add also to something when Natalie was saying about the tweaks. Too often as entrepreneurs and small business owners, we're not only mistakes, but we're afraid to launch new products or launch new services or new aspect of our business.
Because I always say, perfect.
Yes. I always say just do it, because even when you watch the larger companies, they may roll out a product, they may roll out a feature, and then 8 months later, they'll take that feature away. Like, what happened to this part? I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. Well, that feature obviously didn't work, or maybe the customers and the clients weren't happy with that feature. Maybe that feature was too expensive for the company. Maybe they didn't have enough resources, but they launched it to see what would happen. And too often we don't even take that initial step.
Right. Yeah. You know, well, I'm the queen of tweaking. I'm constantly tweaking formulas, and we're redoing one of our products now. And because we've had good feedback on it, but you know, when the feedback comes back, the people are okay about it. Well, we can make it better. So we're going to.
Right.
Yeah. I had a mentor that gave me the analogy of the iPhone that I use with a lot of people, and it's really helpful. And the reason he gave me the analogy is I was really stressed out about my next 0.0. And he said, Natalie, you know, it sounds like you're the iPhone 3 and you're trying to be the iPhone 7, but you can't. You can just be the iPhone 4. And what was good advice from that too is that people get very overwhelmed about the future and their plans for their business, so much so that they paralyze themselves at times because there's so much they want to accomplish. So the advice that I give them from a marketing standpoint, whether it's a new website or just a marketing plan or they want to advertise, is, you know, define where you are. Are you at 2.0 or 3.0, whatever that looks like? What version are you in? And then map out maybe the next 4 or 5 versions. And when you have a good idea, tell yourself realistically, is this the next? Is this 4.0 or is this really a 7.0? Keep the idea, but then don't overwhelm yourself with trying just to accomplish the next level or the next phase. So I think that could be possibly helpful to your audience too. It's certainly been helpful to me.
I definitely agree. I have a similar conversation when I design websites. When I go into it with the person, I'll get an idea of what they want. What do you want? What do you want it to look like? What features do you want to include? What pages do you want to include? And they'll give me everything that they want, all these ideas. And then we're building it and we're going through the process. And they'll say, well, you know, I was thinking, and I think I would really like this on the website. And depending on what that thought is, I'll say, you know what? Okay, I can go ahead and make that little tweak. Or I'll say, you know what? That we may need to do that in the next version or the next phase of what we're doing. And you roll things out in phases, not only so people don't become overwhelmed, but because you're not trying to do everything at once.
Yeah, I mean, you may not just not, it may be a great idea, but you haven't really figured out the recipe for that mm-hmm. either. It really just is merely an idea.
Some people use it to just keep from launching, period, because I need this in and out, and I need this, and this isn't, so they will keep using it as an excuse to not put it out there.
Absolutely. Deb, you were going to say something?
I adopted a process a while ago. I call it 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and it's based on that parlor game. You know, Kevin Bacon's been in every movie, so every celebrity has a connection to him. But when I was explaining it to somebody else, I said, well, you know, if you define your Kevin Bacon, whatever that is, whatever your goal is, and then think about all the different ways that you can get there. Like if you want to do sales, okay, so look at, you know, Google searches and Google shopping and trade shows and map this all out, and then start going down from there with the steps that you need to do. And then you're down here and you're Kevin Bacon's way up here, and you got to figure out how to get there. So when you have it all kind of mapped out, either on a piece of paper or mentally, you can start working on steps, and you can start working on one path to Kevin Bacon. But if there's an obstacle that happens, or you don't have the money to go the next step, you've got other things percolating that you can pivot and you can work on. And maybe that will be an easier path. Because a lot of times we get stuck on, okay, I have to do this to market my company. I have to do this to get sales. And we don't see other opportunities that might come along because we're so focused or too focused on one thing. And then when that doesn't work, you're like, oh my God, I have no way to make my business work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is true. I really like that. You know, there's different ways you can approach to get a certain thing done. It's like using a simple analogy of math, 2 + 2 = 4, but so is 3 + 1. You know, there's different routes you can take to get to a destination. And that's something I've observed in my life as well. Like I want to make changes when it comes to social causes and everything. And it's like, there's so many ways to do it. If I can't become a published author, I can maybe look for other forms of employment. Maybe I can get into journalism. Maybe I could get into international organization, maybe governance. There are just so many ways. So, you know, advice to all listeners out there, narrowing down your path too much might not be the best idea. So as Deb stated, just find out all the different things you can do, and flexibility on that end will be really helpful.
Yes, be flexible, but also keep in mind there's nothing that you can't do, especially being a published author. Being a published author is one of the easiest, simplest things. Not the writing, not the content, not the book. That is difficult. I'm talking about just simply the publishing aspect right now. During the last year in a global pandemic, we've seen more published authors in the history of books. Like whenever they first created books, we've had more in the last year, because everybody it has the time to be able to get those feelings out. So all you have to do is Google Amazon KDP. If you want to become a published author, you can do it at no out-of-pocket cost to you through Amazon KDP. Not that I am a partner and I received, this is not a paid advertisement. They have just helped so many people along the way. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Tammy.
One thing I would like to say is anyone can succeed in business, but they can't succeed on their own, and they cannot succeed on just what they know. So you need to be getting an education, you need to be getting coaching, and most importantly, you need to be surrounding yourself with other successful, going somewhere, doing something people, because most people get their advice from their broke ass friends and family who've never accomplished anything. And then they wonder why life isn't so good. So you need to surround yourself with good people so that you can have that positive influence. You can share ideas, you can learn, you can grow, and you can see that yes, it can be done.
I like that. See, Tammy cuts straight to the chase. Broke ass people around you is why you are broke. And that's why I always tell people, I'm no good to anyone broke. So I got to figure this out and work this out. Thank you, Tammy. Natalie, what do you have for us?
Ooh, Tammy, that's a tough message to follow. I agree with everything you just said. I think it's fantastic. I don't know. I'm still thinking about what I think my answer is, but you know,
tell us about Creative Marketing Group and how you can help people.
Well, I just believe in being genuine and authentic and vulnerable and not being afraid. I mean, you know, you'd mentioned a book. One of my favorite books is The Big Leap. It sort of changed my life. I don't know if anybody's read it. But basically it identifies just sort of a block that takes you from being basically great to truly amazing to a point of a life that you thought you could never imagine. Very interesting, but it really just cuts through some of the things that hold you back. And I think it's okay to face fear and all the things that we talked about today. It's okay. You know, nobody's perfect, and entrepreneurship is, it's there's lots of ups and downs, and it is scary. And I love, Deb, the word you used, embrace, and you know, just being able to shift and pivot. And you know, if you're an entrepreneur that's gotten through COVID, then frankly, I think that you can accomplish pretty much anything for the rest of your entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Forever. So yeah. So I think all I'll say is, there was a time in my life, for a good portion of my adult life, that I had to be somebody that I maybe wasn't, or I had to pretend to be somebody different, maybe because of my job or whatever. And there was a turning point in my early 30s where I said, I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to be authentic. And so sometimes I may be a little too authentic or real. People are like, wow, did she really just say that? Why not, you know? And so with that, I'm always available for any of my new friends here, for anybody watching this. If anybody just wants to have a real conversation about real things, I'm a phone call away. So
I love that. Thank you. I mean, people tell me that all the time. They tell me that all the time. They like, Sharifa, you are so real. And I'm like, yeah, but everybody always wants me to be real until they get their feelings hurt. You know, so I get it. I definitely get it.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Mohammed, what do you have for us?
All right. So first of all, I want to thank you for having me here. And I've absolutely loved everything else that everyone else had to say. This has been an absolute learning experience. And I hope it was for the listeners as well. So if there's any advice I want to give to those who are listening, I'm going to give it in a two-fold system of sort. So firstly, I want to say is that there is no limit to learning and accomplishing anything you want, regardless of your age, where you're from, gender, or any other thing. The only thing that impacts whether or not you can do something is your decision and the actions you take. So I can talk about myself. I'm 19 and I'm here amidst people with a massive age gap, but I think that doesn't matter, because in the end, the ideas that we're sharing and what we want to do, that's what it all comes down to. And yeah, this applies to pretty much everything, whether you're communicating, whether you want to start a business, you want to make friends. In fact, I think this diversity is helpful, if anything. And secondly, don't be afraid to reach out to anyone. So if you can't find the resources to learn something or to improve yourself or, you know, accomplish what you want, it's okay. It's absolutely all right to not have all the answers yourself. So reach out to people, you know, to professionals. There's Google. You can always go ahead and type stuff there. Although information overload can be difficult sometimes, the worst that can happen is you still have some information, if not everything. And just like Natalie, I'm also one message away. You can always approach me for anything. So yeah, thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Mohammed. Deborah, what did you think of today's show?
I loved it. This is a great show, and I think it's very useful for your entrepreneur people. And in that vein, I wanted to add one last thing. You know, a lot of times you go to courses and you go to coaching or whatever. Nobody ever tells you the truth about being an entrepreneur, and that is that it is very difficult. It can be, if you allow it to be, you can feel very, you can be drained, you can feel worthless. There are times when you're going to go through that whole gamut of emotions. And I think overall, the most important thing is to have a strong support group that not only is going to, you know, say you can do it and cheer you on, but also to be very realistic towards you and what you're capable of. Because as Natalie and Tammy both said, sometimes, you know, you're going for that version 7 and you feel like, oh, I'm a failure, when you could be successful with the version 4 and work up that way. And that's something that we need to keep in mind as we're going along, because we envision the vast future that we have for ourselves. And when we don't get there instantly, you know, your emotions and how you feel about yourself can come crashing down on you. So you've got to be kind to yourself and be around people who are kind to you and seek out what the things that you need, and know that you will eventually get there. It might take you 10 extra steps, but you will, if you think about that and you're willing to take those 10 extra steps, you can have a much greater end result.
Words to live by and incredible words to end an incredible show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we still do not need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, I ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show, but that you support our guests. Our guests are here this morning. They're giving up their time, their energy to be able to share with you. So please support them. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. And when you send that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye.